Amen. Amen. The book of Obadiah. Thank you, Lord. Book of Obadiah. It's right before Jonah. Right after Amos. Book of Obadiah. Chapter 1. If you had it, say amen. Amen. All right. In the book of Obadiah, we're going to read verse 18, and I want to show you some things. I'm not much of a topical preacher. Normally when there's some kind of theme or topic, I sort of stray away from it. But I was studying for this message, and God laid this on my heart. And whenever I read this verse, the Lord showed me that it just fit right along even with the theme that we have. Obadiah, verse 18, says, "And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble." And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. That's a good thing. And the house of Joseph a flame. That's a good thing. That's positive. But the house of Esau for stubble. This whole entire book deals with the house of Esau. And stubble is not a good thing. And here's the reason. This is going to be the reason. God said that He's going to destroy them. That's what that meant. They're going to be stubble. There's going to be nothing left of them. And this is the reason in verse 3. Go back to verse 3. "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle." That's very interesting. "And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." Amen. You can be seated. I want to be on fire. It's everybody's desire. We love songs about, "I want to be in the Lord's army," because everybody likes the thought of fighting. But how many people are actually really fighting and making a difference in the army of the Lord? How many people are really making a difference? Most people, when they come and they pray, it's just to get over themselves. They're always, as one man said, "You're on the wrong side of the altar. Every time you come up here to pray, it's to get victory. You're always praying for yourself." How long have you been in church? I want to ask some questions here, and I'm not going to apologize. If you're a preacher, I pray and wish that preachers would stop apologizing for preaching the truth. And I really do. If you're a preacher, maybe the only reason you're apologizing is because you've got the wrong message and you want God to forgive you and help you. But if God's spoken to you about something, don't apologize. I mean, the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. But I want to ask, how many of you are in a Christian's home? I want you to raise your hand. Your parents go to church. Your family goes to church. Okay, how many of you are not? How many of you are from a public school or your family is not saved? Raise your hand. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. All these here are people who know better, Brother Finley. These are all people who know better. They've been raised in it, been born in it. Esau, this whole entire book of Obadiah is about the descendants of Abraham. These people, Esau, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Wonder why it doesn't say, "I'm the God of Esau." And he's Jacob's brother, Esau. And this is different than any other book of prophets. It deals with one nation, Edom. And this nation, their problem is their pride. And I want to say some things today, and I am not anti-American. And I am not anti-military. I thank God that I'm American. I thank God that for our military. But I want to bring out one thing. These people, this nation, it's a whole entire nation. They are filled with pride. And that's what I want to be preaching to you, is pride will bring you down. Pride will bring you down. And this nation here, I want you to get this picture. This is why they began to get filled with pride. This nation is in between a mountain. This mountain separates one side of where Jerusalem is, and it separates the other side, on the other side. And the only way you could get from one side to the other is to this, through this mountain. And there's there's a small passage. That's all there is. And there's pictures of it. You can get online and you can see. You can find the pictures and you can see it. And they still know where it's at. And there's just this huge, gigantic mountain range. And the only way on the other side is through this small passage. And if you would go through this small passage, it's really narrow. You could barely get probably 5-10 people walking in line to get through there. And in the middle is all of a sudden it opens up to this big city. And this city is made out of the mountain. It's actually carved into the mountain. This is Edom. This is what the whole book of Obadiah is talking about. This city. And it's real. It's here today. You can go and you can look at the pictures. This entire nation is built. They carved their houses out of the rock, out of the mountain. You talk about people that began to get pride because it says, out of the clefts of the rock whose habitation is high. They was above everybody and they were secure. How many build a house out of stone? I mean, actually carve it out of a mountain. And you can still see it. You can go in there today and you can walk around and they've got little small houses that are carved into the mountain. And so these people, their houses are firm. They're built into the rock and they say that they are like the eagle, high and lifted up like the eagle. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's really, really amazing to me. And they start getting lifted up in pride. And they realize nobody can stop us. If the enemy comes in, they can't defeat us. If they try to come in, they could hold that city with probably 50 men. If they just, they said that place is so jagged, it's so rough walking through the chasm of that nation through Edom, that people could just set up all over the place. And if a whole army tried to march in, they were just so confident in their army. They were so confident in where they were. And they begin to get bold with it. So people, the only way you could get through, and they needed trade, and they needed to get through, and they needed to bring trade through. Well, they let them come through, but they take their trade. They take their money, and they started getting rich. And they got so rich, the Bible says this: if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, would they not have stolen till they had enough? These people were so rich and increased with goods that if robbers came, they could steal. They could not steal enough. And they would still have so much left over, they wouldn't even realize that it's missing. And then it says, if grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? If people would come and their trade was to gather grapes, they could come in to this place called Edom and they could collect and collect and collect. They could take out just carts and carts and carts of grapes, and there'd still be a bunch left over. And so these people, man, they started abusing their power, and they started abusing their place, and they were just so confident in their position. And God started to realize and see that their pride, he was going to bring them down. They thought, no one's going to take us down. No one can get to us. No one can stop us. We can do whatever we want, and we're going to get away with it. No problem. But God had other plans, and he's going to come. He's going to send a prophet by, and he's going to let them know your pride is going to bring you down. Your pride is going to destroy you. Doesn't matter how strong you think you are. Doesn't matter who, even if you are the descendant of Abraham. And that was another problem. They think just because they're the descendants of Abraham that God's going to bless them, that they're part of the blessing. Amen. That God is going to richly bless, and no matter what they do, they're going to be saved. But God said he was going to bring them down. And he says that Jacob shall be a house of fire. And he says the house of Joseph shall be aflame. Amen. And that's what we want. Man, God, I want to burn for you. Lord, I want to be on fire. God, I want to serve you. I want to be on fire. But he says these people that were so strong, they're going to be stubble. And what he's saying was, I'm going to come by and I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to bring them down. Because one thing I'm telling you, God hates is pride. One thing that God hates is pride. In 1 John 2:16, he says, the love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, these are the three things that every man is going to fight every single day of your life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. And God hates it. And he said, if you're a part of this, I will not be with you. Amen. And these things you are going to fight, and you are going to deal deal with it every single day of your life. The pride of life, the lust of your heart, the lust of your eyes, and the lust of this flesh. Amen. He said it right there. That is, amen, the love of the world. And God hates the pride. And he says it in Proverbs chapter 6. He said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look is number one. Just the look of proud. Just the look. Amen. You don't even have to be proud. You can just look proud. Amen. And God hates it. He said he's going to resist it. He said he would resist you. Amen. If you're so built up in pride. And now I want to tell you, amen, this nation God did absolutely destroy. He came by. There's an army that came by and wiped out every single descendant of Esau. Now there is not even a descendant left in this earth today because God wiped out the whole entire nation. And now there is not an Edomite left in this world. Because of the pride, they were lifted up and God wiped them out. And now there is not one single Edomite left. And if you go to that city, that whole entire place is barren and wrecked and destroyed, but you can still see some houses that were built in the rock. Amen. And I want to tell you again, I am not anti-American, but I tell you, I'm not proud to be an American. I tell you this, we are so lifted up in pride. Our nation, I'm not just dealing with the church, but I'm talking about our nation. You as an American, me as an American, we're proud people. We are so proud. We think that our military is the greatest. We think that our technology is the greatest. Amen. We think that our government is the greatest. And if you go anywhere, you go any part of the world. I remember when I was in India, they said if any Americans come, they said they are so arrogant, they are so proud, they treat us like dogs. And they get us to lift things around, and they get us to do all the work for them, and they'll sit down, and they want us to treat them like kings. They said, that's the American, the doctors and the lawyers and these rich people that come. He said, we're nothing to them. They won't even hardly talk to us. And he said, but you, he said, you, brother, you're different. He said, you're not like the Americans. You're not like them. Hey, listen, I'm thankful that I was born in America, but I'm not proud to be an American. Amen. And everything we do promotes pride. Everything we do puts people, amen, on top and says, this is your idol. Worship me. Amen. I'm great. Hollywood. That's all they do. They just lift people up. Amen. And let them see. Oh, man, we're superheroes. Oh, man, we're great. The good guys always win. Amen. The Americans always win. Amen. And that's how they want to promote it. I tell you, we're so lifted up in pride. Everywhere you go, man, we think that we're the only church in America. I tell you, we think we need to be the ones that are the missionaries. Nowadays, I think we need missionaries. Amen. To preach to us. Because we're getting so lifted up in pride. Amen. We think we're the only church. We're the only ones going to heaven. Amen. There's some people think that their church is the only church that's doing right. Their church is the only one. Amen. That's doing good. Every other church, I don't want to fellowship with them. I don't want to listen to them. Amen. We're so proud. I'm the only one. Man, I thank God that I'm not the only one that's going to heaven. Man, I thank God, amen, that there are others out there, amen, that are serving God, amen, that love the Lord. I thank God I do not want to be the only one into heaven, amen, but I want everyone to go. Amen, I tell you, we need God to come by and humble this nation. You think? I tell you what I believe God did. Now, well, when 9/11 happened, and they came in, everybody all of a sudden realized that we're not so powerful. We're not so strong as what we think we are. Because now the enemy came in to our territory, came into our grounds, came into our city, got into one of our planes, and killed our people, and flew into our buildings. And now all of a sudden, that changed everything. Do you know there's a $5 9/11 security fee? Just a few men from another world changed everything about America in just a few days. That's all it takes. We think we're so powerful. Man, we think we're so great. Amen. You want to put trust in our military? Is that what you want to do? Man, they'll never come here. Man, they'll never get on our land. They'll never come by.
I tell you what's happening. Amen. I'm going to tell you what's happening. Amen. We're allowing. You think God is just sitting back and saying, oh, I love America and I will always bless America. Amen. I believe and I know in my heart 100% the reason America is the way it is today is because in God we trusted. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the only reason that America is the way it is because they did start out reverencing God Almighty and they gave Him the glory and they gave it to Him and they said, in God we trust. I believe it. If you go to any other country in this world, I've been to a lot of different places. Amen. You'll realize you'll realize how disgusting and how perverted and how horrible and how destroyed. Amen. And I thought about sometime getting a picture and putting it here of India, some of the things that were going on, and say, if you want to live that way, turn away from God. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And I'll tell you how it's starting to go. Amen. You think God just looks over these things? Every year we murder hundreds of thousands of little children. Amen. And you think God just going to look past that? Amen. You think God, we make it okay? Amen. For you to go out and commit fornication and commit adultery. Amen. And say, well, I just don't want to be responsible for my sin, so I'll just get rid of the child. And you think God, amen, is going to look past that and say, I'm going to allow everything, amen, just to keep going the way it's gone? Amen. You think it's always going to be just hunky-dory? Amen. God, I pray that you deal with our hearts. Amen. We allow. We have made it legal for a homosexual. Amen. For a man to marry a man. I tell you, this is an abomination to God. Amen. He hates it. Amen. This is not the way it goes. Amen. He said, amen, you're a reprobate. Amen. You've gone so far. Amen. Men doing things with men. Amen. That are unseemly. He said, these are the ones that have gone so far for me. And America has made it right. I'm not Islamic, but you know the Islam, it's against their religion for a man to marry a man. They look down upon it and they don't even serve God Almighty. And they realize, amen, how much, amen, of a sin it is for a man to marry a man. And you think God is going to say, well, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. No big deal. Amen. Your pastor might say that. Amen. Oh, you're sin. It's all right. We'll get you through it. It's okay. He might pat you on the back. Your parents might pat you on the back. Think it's all right. But I tell you, there's a reason. There's a reason that when Jesus is in heaven, the angels are crying, holy, 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 because we serve a holy, righteous God. Amen. And I hate this song. Amen. That Jesus loves sinners. Amen. I tell you. Amen. Jesus does not love sinners. Amen. You might look at me and say, brother, amen, I'll give you a scripture right here. Amen. While I was yet his enemy, amen, he loved me. Amen. While I was yet his enemy, amen, God has enemies. Amen. Those that sin against him, you are his enemy. You are not his friend. Amen. You are his enemy. Only the righteous are his friend. Only the ones that are saved are his friends. Those are the ones he's for. Those that are saved and living right. If there's sin in your heart, amen, he must get rid of the sin, because sin will not enter into heaven. Yes, that's right. Amen. If you're lived the rest of your life good, amen, and you preach the gospel, and one day you fall away from God, amen, and you curse him before you die, I'm afraid sin will not enter into heaven. Amen. It will be too late for you. Amen. God does not play games. Amen. He is not playing around. We need people to realize how bad it is when men sin. We allow other religions to worship their gods. We have removed God out of the school. I was in a court a couple weeks ago. And when I was in that courtroom, I couldn't believe it. The judge would stand up and he would tell everybody. He'd say, and you know how they do it, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth? So help you. He would stop right there. We're missing something. What reason is it to tell the truth if God's not involved? We're taking him out of the court. We've taken him out of school. We have allowed other religions to come in. The sister was just telling me the other day there was a Muslim rally. They all got together. The Christians went, amen, to try to protest. And they was marching and the Muslims had water bottles and was throwing it at them, at the Christians. And the police came and made the Christians leave. It said that the Christians were causing a stir and causing an uproar. Man, I'm telling you, God will send judgment upon this nation. Amen. If it keeps going the way it is, amen. And what is our symbol? Our symbol is the eagle. Why? Because we think we're so great and powerful and mighty. One on one, nothing can defeat the eagle. Amen. The eagle is the king of the air. Amen. And he said the very same thing to Edom. Amen. You feel like you're an eagle. Amen. I believe it was also Rome. Amen. That was their symbol, was the eagle. Because we're so high. Because we're so proud. Amen. I'm proud to be an American. Amen. But I'm telling you, God hates pride. You wonder why our church isn't seeing miracles? Because the pride. You wonder why our church isn't seeing healing? It's because of the pride. Amen. Oh, we can't even work it out amongst each other, let alone, amen, the world. Amen. You wonder why you can't see sinners saved and you're fighting with your brother down the road? Amen. Because of the pride in your heart, because they don't see it exactly the way you see it. Amen. And so you resist them and go against them, and you wonder why you come down here and try to pray. You can't feel nothing. You wonder why, amen, you're not seeing God poured out. It's because of the pride of our hearts. Hallelujah. We hate the thought of this scripture. Obey those who have the rule over you. We hate that scripture. You're going to tell me what to do? I was in a hair saloon getting my hair cut. This little boy was sitting in his seat. He's probably 6 years old. And his mom was trying to point out a hairdo for him. He said, "Shut up, Mom. Mom, would you shut up? Leave me alone." Loud. I'm talking. Everybody could hear it. Everybody was looking at him. "Mom, I'll get my own hair cut. You ain't telling me what to do." I tell you, we hate this thought that we gotta obey somebody. Amen. We hate this thought. How in the world can you come up here and pray knowing you got a cell phone in your sleeping bag? How in the world can you disobey the rule and come up here and raise your hand and worship God and expect God to pour out a spirit upon you and you're not obeying the rules? Amen. That's not how God works. I'm telling you right now, that's the pride of your heart saying, "I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what they say. It's not that important. Amen. I don't care what they say. I'm going to do my own thing. Amen. I'm going to do my own thing." How in the world, amen, can you come down here and get on your knees and you know you've got sin on your cell phone, and you know you've got sin in your heart, and you think you can play the instruments? Amen. And you think you ought to be the one up there singing? When's the last time you prayed for God to anoint you? Amen. When you got up there, amen, you say, "Why didn't me?" Amen. There's a football player named Bo Jackson. They told him his team lost and they just missed the Super Bowl. They said, "Bo, are you going to the Super Bowl?" He said, "If Bo ain't the show, then Bo don't go." Amen. That's how we are. If I ain't the show, then I ain't going. Then I ain't worshiping. Am I ain't the one singing? Amen. Because it's all about you. Amen. You think this thing's all about you? Oh, God, I pray. I'm telling you, God hates pride. Amen. He'll bust it. He'll destroy it. He'll bring you low. He'll bring you down. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you young people care about Elvis Presley? How many of you? Elvis Presley's your hero. one of the most popular American singers of the 20th century. They said that he is a cultural icon. They said that he is titled the King of Rock and Roll, or simply the King. He was the best-selling solo artist in the history of popular music. Nominated for 14 Grammys, won 3 of them. He has been inducted into multiple music halls of fame. They said that Elvis defined the 1960s. Amen. The way you dressed, the things you did, was all defined because of one man. The King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley. Man, amen. Amen. You realize that Jesus is supposed to be our King and our Lord and our Master. Amen. The problem is we want to be the King. Oh, yeah. We want to be the King. You want to have the last word? You want to have the last say? Amen. You want to let everyone know that you're the smartest, that no one can fool you. Amen. You want to be the King. Amen. And this man, he didn't even know his identity. They said he was in rock and roll. He was in pop music. He was in country. He was in blues. He was in gospel. He was in R&B. Amen. He didn't know what he was. Amen. He just knew that he wanted to be the King. Amen. He wanted people to worship him. And that's what it got to. There's people that act like him. There's people that would go around. People that still don't think that he's dead. You know how he died? You heard this before? You know how the King died? This popular, wonderful man that everyone worshipped. You know how he died? He died in his bathroom, laying in a pool of vomit with his face on the ground because he overdosed with drugs, because he realized, I can't handle this pressure. Amen. I can't handle being the King. I can't handle being the one lifted so high. You know why? Because that's where Jesus belongs. Woo! Hallelujah. The only one that can handle it is Jesus. Amen. He's the only one. What about Mike Tyson? Amen. They called him Kid Dynamite. They called him Iron Mike. They called him the baddest man that walked the planet because at 20 years old, he won 3 heavyweight champions. Amen. He defeated his first 19 people by knockout. Amen. Mike Tyson, baddest man on the planet. Amen. He made $300 million throughout his entire career. You know what he said in 2010? This man, amen, that was the boxer of all boxers. Ain't no one can beat me. Ain't no one can defeat me. Ain't no one can bring me down. He was the King. He was the King of boxing. This is what he said in 2010. I am totally destitute and broke. Made $300 million in his whole entire career. 2010, he said, I am completely broke. You know what he's doing today? He's raising pigeons and racing them to raise money. Wow. Was it worth it? He can hardly talk right. You gotta hear him try to talk. You ought to hear him try to think because he's had so many concussions and blows to the head. Amen. Is it worth it? Now he's racing pigeons. Wow, what a glory. What a glorious thing. I race pigeons for money. Wow. I'm the King. Man, ain't no one knocked me out. I'm racing pigeons. Look at me go. Oh, I tell you, God hates pride. Let me tell you about my dad. Amen. I started telling my dad he needed to be saved. He laughed. Amen. I'm tired of this bold sin. Amen. I'm tired. This is why preachers ought not to feel sorry. Amen. If you offend somebody. Amen. Jesus said, it is impossible, but offenses will come. And he said, woe unto them on whom they come. Amen. I am not sorry for preaching the truth. I am not sorry for preaching the gospel. Amen. I am not sorry for the way of holiness. Amen. If you don't like it, you're offended. Amen. You're offended him. Amen. You're not offending me. Amen. You've offended God. Amen. Because he hates your sin. Amen. They said, Jesus, your disciples don't wash their hands when they go and before they eat. And Jesus said, you offend me because you don't obey your father and your mother. Amen. He wasn't concerned about offending people. He was concerned about the truth. He was concerned about your soul. Amen. If your soul going to hell, amen, offends you, then I'm going to keep preaching. But I'm so tired of bold sin, Brother Paul. When they'll look at you, I'll look at them. I'll say, it's time for you to go to your room. And they'll stare you down. And they'll look at you. And they'll put a smirk on their face. And they'll put in a statement just to gouge you in the side. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all right. That's okay. I don't have to get in the last word. I just pray for them. God, humble them. God, humble them. Get them on their knees. I tell you, I'm preaching. God's all over you this morning because I'm preaching the truth. And you know, you're so filled with pride. Amen. And I'm going to say this. I know there's preachers in this house. I know there's ministers in this house. But I've found, Brother Paul, that the most problems come from preacher's kids. I am not a preacher's kid. You can blast me all you want to. One day, I just may have kids. Amen. I'm going to be responsible for them. You better believe it. Amen. But why is it, amen, that the preacher's kids are the ones that give me the most problem? Amen. The problem is, you've lost the respect and you've lost the reverence. Amen. Jesus looked at that woman and he said, those that I forgive 50 and those I forgave 500, of which one will love me more? And she said, the one with the greatest debt. Amen. And there's a problem. Now listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. But if you're from a Christian home, you better realize how privileged you are. You better realize the blessing that God has given you. Oh, that you're in a home where your family loves you, where your mom and dad loves you, and they're watching for your soul, and you want to resist them, and you want to mock them. I've heard preachers' kids make fun of their own mom and dad. Oh, God have mercy. I've heard them say things, oh, my dad's so hard on me. Oh, what I would give if my dad was preaching the gospel. Oh, what I would give if my mom, amen, was saved and on fire for God and told me to come home at 10:30. What I would give. You need to realize the privilege, the honor it is. And the reason why people like Paul said, I labored more than them all, because he forgave me so much. And so I'm going to labor for him. That doesn't mean that just because you're a preacher's kid, you don't love God more than me. But I'm telling you, there's a danger of letting this thing slip through your fingers. And for you to forget and realize the blessing you really had. Amen. I can take you to some homes where some moms and dads abuse their children. Amen. They don't care about them. They don't love them. I can't imagine. Amen. What it is for a mom. I was reading on. Amen. They had this title. Mom doesn't love her child. She told her child, I don't love you. I don't want you. And I don't care about you. And I'm going to give you to someone else. Can you imagine? And you want to be so bold. This is why I'm tired of bold sin. I'm tired of people mocking the preacher. I'm tired of disrespecting the house of God. I'm tired of you disrespecting the Holy Ghost. And acting like you're shouting. And acting like you're praising. I'm telling you, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. That's the glory. Amen. That's the mercy. Jesus said, I'm going to dwell in you. And you want to mock and make fun of him. My dad got so bold in his sin and his fornication. I'd be in home. laying on the couch and he'd know I was there. He'd come in, still messing with the women. Didn't even care. Got bold with it. He used to try to hide it from us. But then he just started doing things. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, man, just bold. Sin. Oh, and he said, he would get in fights all the time. He'd tell me how he was bad. He's about as big as me. He thought he could whip the world because one time he got in a fight with a man that was 300 pounds and about 6 foot 6. And Dad said that it was a stalemate. He said, man, we wrestled and we fought for a while. And nothing happened to me. He said, man, I'm tough. Man, I'm tough. I'll be all right. No problem. The women love me. Amen. I can fight the men. The women love me. And he was bold with it. Till one day, he was up on a roof and he was working. And he slipped on black ice. He fell 30 stories. He was on a 3-story house, putting on shingles. Amen. And he fell clear down to the bottom. He landed on the ground. His foot was by his head. That's how he fell. He was laying on ice and laying on the ground on the ice and the wet and the cold. And there were some men that come up, the men he was working with. The one ran out in the woods and was throwing up. The other one just stood there and paralyzed him. Amen. He couldn't do nothing. I didn't know what to say. My dad said, there was one time I wish I wasn't strong. It was that day. Because normally when you go through such a shock, you'll pass out. But he was so tough, he was so strong that he wouldn't pass out. And he had to endure the whole time. The pain shooting through his body. And he looked at the man. He had to tell the man to call 911. He's the one laying on the ground. 11 bones shattered from his hip down. Busted to pieces as he's laying there. Then he gets to the hospital. He's laying in the hospital. They give him morphine. Amen. And he has an allergic reaction to the morphine. And he said, my body felt like it was on fire. And he said, what God was doing was bringing me down. What God was doing is getting me to realize I'm really not as strong as what I thought I was. And he brought him all the way down. He said, God, if you would save me today, God, if you'll save me today, I'll serve you. And he said immediately, the pain was gone. Let me tell you about my grandpa. My dad said he was so mean and hateful. People would come to the house. And he would sit there. And he wouldn't even look at them. He'd watch TV. Visitors would come in. He wouldn't even look at them. Wouldn't even talk to them. They'd come by. They'd say, hey, Bill. They wouldn't even look at them. The only person my pap would talk to is my dad. My dad said, I still don't know why he liked me. I'd say, hey, pap, you've got visitors. He'd say, if I wanted to talk to him, I'd talk to him. If I wanted to say something to him, I'd say something to him. That's how he was. Mean and hateful. Amen. Treated my grandma. Amen. Like a slave. Amen. She's the nicest, sweetest lady you'd ever meet. He's so mean and hateful to her that he's afraid of my grandpa. My mom, my uncles, scared to death of him because of how hateful, how hard, how proud. Amen. He was. Till one day, he was working in the mines. Worked in the mines all of his life. He developed black lung. Amen. My dad said one time, it got so bad, he was out, they were down on the river and they were fishing. My dad said, well, we're going to head back up to the truck. And my pap said, all right, I'm going to start on my way. My dad said he was down there probably fishing a little while. He was catching some fish, so he stayed. He said, I was down there for about 30 minutes. I turned around. I started walking up the hill. Only took me about 4 minutes to get to the top of the road. And there was pap. Barely breathing. Could barely get up there. Dad said, do you need help? He said, no, I don't need your help. I'm fine. And black lung is like taking a straw and trying to breathe through a straw. I don't know if you've ever tried that before. Amen. But I'm telling you, I tell you, it's a hard thing. You can hardly just sit there and breathe through a straw, let alone walk or do anything. There was times they said he would want to mow his own grass. He didn't want no one mowing his grass. He'd go out there and he'd get on the lawnmower. He'd pass out on his lawnmower and he'd be out there for hours because he didn't want no one to help him. So filled with pride and so filled that I can do it all on my own. I don't need no one's help. I don't need my pastor. I don't need my brother. I don't need my sister. I can do it on my own. Till one day, it got so bad, so miserable, he started reading his Bible. He said, Brock, I read from the first page through the last page. And all I know is, I didn't understand it a lot, but it worked. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what he told me. Amen. And God changed him. Total, completely different man. But he had to humble himself one day and go down to an altar and bow before an almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm about done. I'm telling you, we need some pastors to humble themselves. We need some young people to humble yourself. You say pride. You say humility is weakness. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Come here, brother. Do you mind? I want you to come here for a minute. Now, I'm not going to try to embarrass you, but I'm glad you're here, brother. If anybody knows, brother, probably the first thing you've noticed is the arrogance of Americans. You can say it. You can say it as I'm here with you. Don't worry. I got your back, brother. Don't you worry. Amen. I want you to sit down right here for a minute. I tell you, when I was in India, the thing that impressed me more, Brother Paul, than anything was how humble they were. They would do anything for me. They would carry my bags for me. They'd make sure I had the nicest seat in the area. They'd make sure I was taken care of. When's the last time you made sure your pastor was taken care of? When's the last time you took a load off mama and daddy's back because you wanted to? I don't care if they're saved or they're not saved. You know what I did a couple weeks ago? I was at my mom's house. I fixed her chimney. I went down in her basement and cleaned out her dirty, nasty basement because she don't have a man to take care of her. So I went and I did it all for her. Amen. I cleaned out her whole house. Took a whole week. Amen. And cleaned out her house. She's not saved, but I love her and I respect her and I want to see her get saved. Amen. When you humble yourself, amen, then she says, Brock, you're the only reason that I think God exists. Amen. I believe there's hypocrites. Oh, there's a bunch of fake. Amen. But she said, I've seen the love of Christ in you. I'm speaking as a fool, but I'm telling you, amen, you gotta learn how to serve. If you wanna be on fire for God, you gotta learn how to serve. You gotta learn how to get on your knees. Say, God, I do whatever it takes. God, I do whatever it takes. I'm gonna tell you about the mightiest man and yet the humblest man. There's a bunch of disciples walking around saying, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Man, I got a good message. Man, I got a good song to sing. Jesus, who do you think's the greatest? And Jesus is going to teach him a lesson. He said, those who are the servants, those who are the least will be exalted. They'll be the greatest. Those that learn how to serve. Amen. Those that learn, amen, how to treat your brother right and treat your sister right. Amen. Then God will exalt you and the God, amen. Just stay right there, brother. Amen. I want you to get this picture. Jesus was in heaven. Amen. I'm talking about a place where they say holy, holy, holy. They worship him in heaven. Amen. Right now he's at the right hand of the Father. A beautiful place. And he humbled himself. Amen. And came all the way down here. And he goes to those disciples. And he said, I'm going to be your example. And brother, I want you to take your shoe and your sock off for me. And he goes up to them. And he says, I'm going to be your example. Brother Paul, the greatest, I think, service that I had in India was a foot wash service. Jesus himself, the Son of God, he is a king. You tell me any other king that would bow down and wash your feet and wash your dirty, stinky, nasty feet. A king sent from heaven, the Lord and the Savior, the Master, and you can't obey, amen, those that have the rule over you, and you want to get into the last word, but yet Jesus gets down and he starts washing their feet. Oh, God. Oh, every one of them. He started going and he had washed their feet and he'd say, me being your Lord and your Master, if I'm able to wash your feet, and if he was in this building, I don't care who would be here, he'd get down on his knees and he'd wash your feet. and he would serve you because he loves you. Amen. Jesus never took a thing. There was never any pride in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're ashamed? I tell you, pride is what makes people keep their hands down. Pride is what makes people not get out of their seat and run to the altar. I wonder what people say. I wonder what people think. Brother Massey, the other day, God gave me a vision for a message. I'm just going to get up. I'm going to get a bucket of mud. I'm going to smash it all in my face. I'm going to get a big old goofy looking shirt, put it on. I'm going to take off a shoe. I'm going to put on some goofy pants. And I'm just going to make myself, amen, a fool in front of everybody. I'm going to dance around. I'm going to do cartwheels. Amen, I'm going to do this for a message. I promise. Amen, I'm going to. And I'm going to get up and say, amen, you know what Jesus did? Oh, God, when he died on the cross, that wasn't some great, glorious way to die. He wasn't in battle with a sword. I mean, that's how the Japanese believe you ought to die. They said that's honor. That's glory. When you're in battle and you die with a sword, amen, in your heart. Amen, that's how you die with glory. That's how you die. What about these men in the army? Man, I took a bullet. Amen, that's how I died. I went down in glory. I went down. Do you realize if you die on a cross, it's a curse. It is a shame. People that walked by and seen a man on the cross would hang their head and say, what has he done? What has he done? And they would shake their head and they would mock and they would make fun. And not only that, did Jesus die on a cross, but he died between two thieves. I'm telling you, that was not a glorious way to go. But he humbled himself. Amen. God Almighty humbled himself just for this old boy right here. Amen. And if you can't come up here, amen, and give your heart to God after what he's done for you, that's why Paul said, I preach Christ and am crucified. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's why Paul said, I labor more than them all, because he humbled himself, humiliated himself. I said, Father, forgive him. You tell me anybody that would humiliate themselves in death for you. You tell me anybody that would die for you in humiliation. And you're ashamed to come pray. Now you wonder why God hates pride. Hallelujah. 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 But I'm going to tell you about some folks that Jesus is going to help. Hallelujah. There was a guy that I was in a camp meeting in. Hallelujah. We was all in the cafeteria. It was early in the morning. And I heard this guy yelling. And there was a woman there. She gets up and she runs out of the kitchen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I feel like I'm going to do something here in a minute. I believe we got time. Amen. Amen. There's a guy there's a woman got up and she ran out of the kitchen. One of my friends came in and said, Brock, we need to pray for this man. I walked out of there and it looked like he was drunk. Looked like he was just so out of it. He was walking. He was yelling and screaming. I thought, man, the guy was either demon possessed or he was an alcoholic or something. Didn't know what was going on. We got out there. He got down to the altar and this is what he did. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will. When's the last time that was your repentance? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're mad at God because you disobeyed. You're upset with God because you sinned and you haven't even said you're sorry. Oh dear God, I pray there'd be some people in this building this morning that realize you need to humble yourself before God and you need to cry out, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. before he brings you down. And I'm telling you, God gloriously saved that man. Amen. God touched him. He was running around. Amen. God gloriously touched him because he humbled himself. Amen. And said, sorry, God, I'm sorry. Not because I got caught, but because I've offended God Almighty. Hallelujah. There's a man, amen, that laid, said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Now, this is your opportunity. You know whether you need to repent. I believe we've got a whole building full of people that need to say, God, please humble me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you don't beg for it, if you don't want it, nothing will ever change. And you walk out of here, one day God's going to bring you low. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us all to stand. Why in the world do we always got to have a song playing? Because people are ashamed to cry out to Jesus. You're afraid someone's going to hear you pray. Isn't that? Wow. Jesus died on a cross for you. Between two thieves. Humiliated himself. And you're ashamed to say, God, forgive. You're ashamed to lift your hands. And you look around and you wonder what everybody else is doing. Oh, dear God. Humble us, Lord. God, I pray that you'd humble our hearts. God, help us to realize, God, that we're built up in pride. And Lord, we'll never go anywhere. We'll never see a revival. We will never have fire unless we humble our hearts. Not every ending was a happy ending. Hallelujah. How do you need to obey God this morning? I'm done. I don't even know if I'm going to have someone sing. Because I feel like someone, if you would humble yourself and you'd come up here and you'd ask God for mercy and grace, I'm telling you, see your life totally, completely changed. God would lift you up. Oh, glory! I'm telling you, God loves you enough, amen, that He would lift you up. Amen, He would deliver you. Amen, He would save you. He would help you. Amen, if you would humble yourself and say, God, have mercy on me. I'm not going to make this an easy altar call. You need to obey God. Hallelujah. I'm tired of you being so bold in your sin and so backward towards God. Hallelujah. 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 God, I pray, Lord, that we have reverence. God, give us reverence for the Holy Ghost. God, give us reverence for the house of God. Lord, give us reverence. Come on, men. Cry out to Him. Matter of fact, we're not going to have songs. Amen. I believe God wants you to humble yourself. Stop hiding at this altar. Stop just burying your face. Amen. Say, God, humble my heart. God, I need you. Humble me, Lord. Humble me, Lord.